This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When sweet tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like sweet tarts twisted rainbow ropes, gummies fruity splits, and chewy fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet tarts, dare to combine. Visit sweettartscandy.com to shop now.
The founder of Panasonic once said,
"We can lead more meaningful and constructive lives
through the pursuit of activities that will ensure
a better today than yesterday,
a better tomorrow than today."
Panasonic is committed to creating a greener,
more equitable future
for everyone.
Explore Panasonic Green Impact
at na.panasonic.com/green impact.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Vince Vanguard has helped a lot of other folks make their music dreams come true through his recording studio and production company. Finding himself on the upside of some personal life struggles, he realized it was time to release his own music. Vince joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his soulful Americana folk debut release, Spirit Blues. Hey Vince, thanks for joining us on the podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Great. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us this afternoon. We were just talking a few minutes ago. You are presently living near D.C., Arlington. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm in Virginia right now.
Yeah.
So I was out in Boulder, Colorado for 10 years and made the move back to the East Coast to be around family for a little bit and get a change of scenery for a little while.
Yeah. East Coast, was that home growing up?
It was, yeah. I grew up close by to here in Fairfax.
Okay, cool. What led you out to Colorado?
School initially. I went CU Boulder.
Okay.
Got my degree and, you know, hung around a while.
Did you grow up around music? Was that part of your childhood?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad's a huge music fan. You know, the 60s, 70s was songwriters or, you know, classic rock. He, part of my name inspiration, my birth name is Eric, came from Eric Clapton.
Oh, cool.
grew up on like Neil Young and the Beatles.
Yeah.
And the Grateful Dead and, you know, that whole realm was a big influence on my. So.
When did you start playing music?
I started playing music, I must have been around 12 or 13 years old. I got my first acoustic guitar. I wasn't allowed to start with electric.
Really?
So I got an acoustic. So
minimize the volume.
yeah. I had to learn a few songs of my dad's particular request in order to earn electric guitar. So I started on the acoustic.
That's cool. Self-taught kind of thing, or did you start taking lessons? When did it click for you that, hey, you know, maybe there's something here?
Yeah, well, part of the story is my uncle is a pretty competent musician, and he would always bring a guitar whenever we visit our family, and we do sing-alongs. You know, he'd play guitar, and we'd all sing Beatles and songs like that. Okay. So that was kind of my initial inspiration. But yeah, I took a few lessons at the beginning, but I kind of had a hard time sticking with it and being diligent about practicing. So it was kind of one of those things where when I felt called to learn a song, that felt like something I could I could tackle, I would do that. And, you know, I started attempting to write songs pretty shortly after that, kind of largely inspired by Neil Young at that point in time.
Yeah.
In terms of trying to be a songwriter.
Did you do the high school band college thing when you were growing up, you know, kicking around in garage band kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Not as much in college. I was preoccupied with other things, but, you know, the talent shows in middle school and then in high school, you know, had a couple bands that were somewhere in the alternative, progressive kind of rock with a little bit of punk flavorings.
Yeah. And then you've got your own studio, right? Did I read that correctly? So you're involved in the engineering side of music for a while?
Yeah, so I started a business called Cosmic Collective, and my vision there was to take all this gear that I had accumulated over the years and try and turn it into something, and what came out of it was a rehearsal and recording studio. And on the recording side, it was more of a kind of live-in studio and, you know, live demos more than, you know, doing a polished album kind of production. But so I just kind of used the space in whichever way I could. I did DIY shows and hosted, you know, creative events. You know, just kind of did whatever I could with it, and ended up also moving into live sound production. So
when did it become a thing for you in your mind that, hey, you know, I've got some stuff of my own I'd like to push out there and create your own project?
I think ever since early on, it had been something that I wanted to do. But it took me a long time to kind of settle into my style in some ways. I think that the kind of music that came out when I was in high school with bands wasn't necessarily representative of who I was individually as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. And not that I was out of touch with that, but I just didn't have the right outlet or the skills yet. And so, I mean, I accumulated a lot of songs over the years, and it wasn't until, you know, the pandemic, you know, hit and things cooled down with my endeavors in the industry, and I got sober and kind of had a chance to really put everything together and actually follow through on songs that I'd written and, you know, get to the point where I've, you know, could tackle bringing them into the world.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. So the album then for you, I believe I have the title right, Spirit Blues. Is that correct? The album that's on its way out, not quite out yet as we're talking. And this is your debut release in that form?
Yeah. Spirit Blues is my debut full length. So it'll be the first official music I've ever put out under my name.
Wow. That's cool. So you've been releasing some singles along the way. The full-length album is due out, I think we said the 1st of November, around about there?
October 7th.
October 7th. Okay, so just around the corner then.
Yep.
That's cool. And so the songs, I think I understood that you said that these were songs that you've been collecting. So were all of these the collection of songs you've written in the past, or did you write some specifically to round out this project?
They were pretty much all written within the last 3 or so years, with the exception of the last track on the album, Just So You Know, which I wrote within the first 2 weeks or so of getting sober. So everything I had written before that part of my journey.
Yeah.
And so this album, Spirit Blues, collectively and thematically kind of speaks to, you know, my struggles during those times and trying to move past addiction in various ways, and you know, just trying to figure life out.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to take these tunes out to an audience? Do you plan to do that?
I do plan to do that. I haven't invested myself too much in going down that route because I've been so preoccupied with just trying to get these songs recorded at the quality that I wanted to put them out at. And so my next step is venturing more out into performing them live. I have done a few acoustic gigs along with my brother, who's also an amazing musician and songwriter. So I'm stepping into that world, and now that I'm in Virginia, I have to find and connect with some new musicians so I can play with a full band.
Yeah. In your mind, what does that look like? Venues, pubs, festivals? How do you envision this fitting into what kind of audience?
Yeah, I think it's a mix between, you know, kind of a more coffee house vibe and a festival vibe. The way that these songs were written was just all on acoustic. So it wasn't until I went into the studio that they had ever had a life, you know, fleshed out with full instrumentation.
Oh, wow.
So okay. when I think about the songs, I think of them as acoustic singer-songwriter songs. My attention was definitely to have there be a full band production on the album. But like at their core, that's how I think of the songs. But in the format of playing with a band, I see it jiving a little bit more with a festival kind of crowd. And maybe that's just because it's in line with the type of music I like to see. But I think it would be a fair fit.
So what was that like? You said that you hadn't really had other musicians involved until you got to the studio. Did that change, or how did that change the vibe, the flavor, how you felt about the song, having being able to hear it, I guess, more full than what you were used to playing it?
Yeah, I mean, it was an exciting adventure. I really didn't have too clear of an idea of what these songs were going to sound like when all things were said and done. You know, I knew that I wanted to have your, let's say, classic rock instrumentation, you know, the Hammond B3 and the guitars and bass and drums and that kind of standard outfit. And, you know, I wanted to have some kind of Americana sensibility. But past that, I mean, I really didn't know. I mean, it ultimately came down to the musicians that I was able to connect with. And part of that was bands and artists that I've worked with in the past, and connections from the studio that I recorded at. So, you know, whoever there were artists that, you know, I wanted to in particular play on certain songs, and was able to get those artists in a lot of cases. But yeah, at the end of the day, I had no idea what was going to come out.
Wow. So they
it was exciting to watch things unfold.
Yeah,
it was a mystery to everyone, including myself.
Right, literally just evolved right in front of you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. During that process, did you ever find them going in a direction that was like, yeah, I don't know if I like this after all, kind of thing? Like, did you do any adjustments to the music in the process of seeing it evolve?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there was a few instances where I had to, or I felt like I wanted to bring in someone else for a few things. But for the most part, I was able to kind of come to a consensus and find something that fit the song. I mean, my approach is usually I was able to work with some really talented artists, so I trusted them to kind of like do their thing. And yeah, knowing who they were as artists, I wanted their fingerprint on it. So it was, for the most part, just loose guiding them. But, you know, letting them have their style reflected in the recordings.
You mentioned a little bit ago about an earlier style for you, which was a little more on the progressive punk side. How did you settle into, you know, I think Americana is more the vibe I'm after when you put this album together?
Yeah, well, I think that's really what my identity as a songwriter always was.
Okay.
I just it didn't feel cool to be, you know, just the acoustic songwriter, you know, especially in high school. You know, I wanted to be loud, and I had that angst.
Yeah,
that angst running through my veins, and that the punk mentality, the punk in terms of the sound wasn't as much there, but the attitude certainly was. And I just wanted, you know, to be loud and play with a full band and, you know, you know, kind of middle finger to the music that I grew up with. You know, not that I didn't like it, but it just, it was that kind of rebel stance mindset.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, yeah, I understand. Where do you, so you wrote all of these songs, I think you said, or almost all of them. Is that a, do you have a songwriting process? Like, are you always writing even after the this album is done?
After this album was done, I, not until actually last week have I written anything new. All these songs were, my process was pretty much, wait until, at least after midnight, you know, when I had had at least a few drinks and, you know, just let what was going on in my soul and spirit out, you know, whatever pain was there, whatever questions, whatever frustrations I was feeling, and kind of flush those out. In a lot of cases, you know, I would be pretty in my flow in those states, and things would just come out, and I would, you know, do the voice memos and record those, and at a later time come and refine them a little bit more. All the songs I wrote myself, you know, just vocals and acoustic.
Yeah.
That's where they all started.
So you mentioned that a lot of these kind of were written in a different phase of your life, and that you've been working, living life now as being sober. Do you feel a change in the songwriting at all? Is it different to try to write in a different mindset?
It's certainly different. To be honest with you, I haven't really had the bandwidth to start writing new material because I've been so focused on putting this chapter behind me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel necessarily like whatever comes next is going to be some big departure. I don't think that's the case. I think stylistically, it's pretty true to who I will continue to be in a lot of ways. I mean, things might be colored differently, but at its core, I think, you know, my songwriting will have consistency moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, this album is a snapshot of an era for me that, you know, I'm closing out. I mean, one of the big goals is to get these songs off my chest so I can move forward into the new life and whatever, however that expresses itself musically afterwards, whatever I have to say, you know, next.
So how far do you look ahead? Like, what do you have in your mind? What's next? I mean, you said you hadn't really had a chance to write much yet while this album is in process. Where would you like to see your music take you?
There's some old thoughts and ideas that are, you know, right up before I got sober that still have some resonance for me. And so I revisited a few of those as potential material for the next album, but I just wrote a new song last week that I'm pretty excited about, and so my goal is just to, you know, pick up the guitar, you know, as often as possible, and, you know, when something comes, when the muse strikes, you know, see what comes out. And I don't necessarily have a particular timeline, but I'm absolutely working towards creating material for the next album. It's already on my mind.
Yeah.
So what the timeline looks like, we'll see, but I'm starting to actively work on that.
So your debut album is Spirit Blues. Give us one or two of the singles that people can look forward to now while we're anticipating the October 7th release of the album.
Yeah. So I have three singles out. And so the first one that I released is Levon Jackson, and that's a, it's got a very strong Southern rock feel.
That's a great song, man. I really do enjoy that song.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a fun one to write. Most of the scenery and the lyrics, allude to out West.
Yeah.
But that one's got more East Coast in its bones.
Yeah.
I wrote that, in Luray, Virginia, by the Shenandoah.
Sweet. Yeah. I know where you're at.
It's got a historical kind of metaphor allegory thing going for it.
Awesome.
So that was inspiration there. And then, Just So You Know, which was the second single, was the one song that I wrote after getting sober. And it's kind of got a country feel. It's got pedal steel. So it's got that kind of vibe. And just kind of speaking to moving forward into a new chapter of life.
Yeah.
And then this last one that I just released, Broken Bones, is pretty far up the alternative rock avenue, I think. And it's the only song that more directly speaks kind of to social things, but
right.
It's also not its goal, okay, necessarily. It's just kind of, you know, looking at things on a macro and micro level, and, you know, just trying to escape, you know, to a new and better reality.
Yeah, that's cool.
Ditch the old system.
So how can people get in touch? Where can they hear the singles that are out and look forward to the be able to find the new record as soon as it's released?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can find me anywhere that music is streaming, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, all that good stuff. And I hope in the not-too-distant future I'll put out the record on vinyl as well, date to be determined. But yeah, October 7th, the full album, Spirit Blues, comes out, and, you know, anywhere that you listen to music online, you should be able to find it.
And website?
Website is vincevanguard.com. For Instagram, at Vince Vanguard, and Facebook is Vince Vanguard Music.
And the album is Spirit Blues. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate talking to you, and wish you the best with the launch of the record and the rest of the music coming out behind it.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.